The biblical call to give an answer for those who inquire about the faith. We are always prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within us.
This is your life. This is who you are. This changes the way you understand yourself as a human being and every other human being. It changes what you mean by justification and adoption and sanctification and glorification. And it changes what you mean by why we do what we do in gospel ministry and in righteous living. Everything is changed when we understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Jabulani Meiberg.
And I'm Isaac Pinto. We are associate pastors at Central Baptist Church.
And welcome to our Theology Alive podcast, where we look to engage theology in the church carried out in the culture using a Christian worldview. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to another episode of the Theology Alive podcast.
Woo, it's good to be here. It's good to listen to Vodi in the intro.
Oh, man.
It gets us pumped up.
I love his passion.
Come on.
For some reason, every time we start the podcast, I know there's one word that's either going to trip me up.
Mm.
And today I was like, theology. Theology.
Theology.
I'm just like, what's going on? Usually it's episode. I'm like, episode. No idea what's going on. But anyway, welcome if you're joining us for the first time,
Carson,
on the podcast.
Are you keeping tracks of the bloopers? Okay, now
we should have just one episode of the bloopers.
Yeah, we're going to have that.
But anyway, if you're joining us for the first time on the podcast, a special welcome to you. Welcome to the Noisy Bunch. We hope you're going to enjoy the stuff that we have prepared for you this morning. Well, it could be morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you're listening from.
Yeah.
But anyway, we hope it's going to be a blessing to you.
Yeah, so we're going to, it's a new year. We're starting a kind of a new series that we hope it will be a blessing to you and get some practical wisdom, always from a Christian worldview, from the scriptures. So Jabu, why don't you tell us what are we going to be talking about?
Right, so I mean, the name of our podcast is the Theology Alive podcast. And we really want to spend some time just in the first few weeks of the year to just talk about a life of worship. And we want to just really scrutinize our lives to see if are we being true to who we say we are. Are we being true to the name that we bear? And what does it actually look like for you to be a Christian in your sphere of influence? So it could be in your home.
Mm-hmm.
It could be at school. It could be in the workplace. And man, even in church, what does it look like to be a Christian in church? Which is going to sound weird in the beginning. Because
yeah.
I mean, church is a place for Christians, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's also expectations from God for you. Mm. Even when you enter into the gates of our Lord, and what does he expect for us then?
So I think it's going to be exciting how to show how we live a Christian worldview, which is, you know, worship.
Yeah.
You know, worship in every aspect of our lives. So maybe to kick us off, Jabu, I want to maybe start with a verse, and just we can take it from there. And it's a very known verse, but it I feel it sets a bit of a foundation for us. It comes from Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And this verse, maybe if we can have a small part of exegesis here. First 11 chapters of Romans, just doctrine, right? Paul shows man's sinfulness, and then how we all sinned in Adam, and then justification by faith, golden chain of redemption, all of that great richness. And in view of all of that, in view of the gospel, in view of what Christ has accomplished, then he starts on chapter 12, which he's going to roll out some of the practical stuff. Therefore, in view of that, those are the mercies of God, justification by faith, Christ's atoning sacrifice. Sure. In view of that, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, it's making reference to the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, but it's different in the sense that this is a living sacrifice.
Sure.
This is a day by day constantly presenting yourselves, your bodies, as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so it is, let me put it this way, it is by viewing the mercies of God, all that Christ has done on the cross, as we meditate and view that and see that, we should naturally present our bodies as a living sacrifice, a constant living for God. That's a life of worship.
Sure, but now the question comes to my mind, Isaac, that it seems like Paul is saying that the prerequisite or the presupposition that he has for those who have given their lives as a living sacrifice and are not being conformed to the patterns of this age, but are rather being transformed. These people have had an encounter with God. These are people who have been saved. They've trusted in God. The old man has died, and behold, the new man has come. All this has already happened.
Yeah.
Now my question is, if someone listening to this is claiming to be a Christian, but they haven't renewed their minds, or they aren't renewing their minds, they aren't being a living sacrifice, their lives look more conformed to the world than it does to the word and to Christ, what do you think Paul is saying to these folk?
Well, I think there's only two options. Either you haven't truly encountered Christ, because you know, as Jesus will say, you will know them by their fruit. Sure. You know, so if there is no difference, and I think you mentioned this on your sermon on Sunday, if there is no difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who is not a Christian, you know, there is something seriously wrong there. And so either the person thinks they're a Christian, but they're not really, you know, they maybe are accustomed to, sometimes the term is used, cultural Christianity, or the person is in a state of apostasy, you know, where they've, are in a state of where they kind of left the faith, and we pray that God will bring that person back. But yeah, it is not normal for someone to be a Christian and not show forth fruit.
Sure. If I can put it that way. That's difficult to take in. And I guess it leads us to what we're talking about today, as we're looking at the topic, can you be too Christian? Can somebody be too much of a Christian? The easier question, which we could easily answer, is can someone be too worldly? Easily identifiable, easy to I guess condemn. this guy definitely too worldly. He might not know the Lord. That's an easier question. Yeah. Now the question is, can somebody be too Christian?
Maybe, Jabba, I think it would be helpful if you if you maybe tell us, what do we mean by that? Because, so for example, we were talking about it earlier. We don't mean being weird. We don't mean like, you know, we were joking earlier, but I do want to mention it. Okay, so like, you know, you have people and you're like, hello, how you doing?
I'm blessed.
Yep.
And the voice even changes. I mean, notice that, you know. I'm favored by the Almighty. And sometimes, you know, I've met some Christians that is just hard to have a conversation with. But that's not what we're talking about here. Yeah. So maybe it would be good for you to clarify that.
All right. So today what we really want to talk about is this: should all Christians be radical? Mm. And not obviously we now have to define the term radical.
Sure.
Just because we do have, and we've seen in the past where there were Christians who were radical in terms of religion, where they were torturing people and they persecuted people in the name of Christianity. Mm. We see this as well in Islam, where there's the radical Islamists who terrorize people and bring doom and gloom.
Mm.
That's the radical we're talking about. Mm. The radical that we are talking about is one where a person expresses strict adherence to a worldview that is at extreme odds with the cultural norm.
Mm.
So someone who's basically giving up their all, going against the status quo because they believe in a different worldview than the worldview that is currently standing. So so that's the Christianity we talk. We're not talking about what Isaac spoke about, the amen, sister, God is good all the time, brother, God is good. No. We're talking about should we all be radical in our faith?
Maybe in our case, it would be something along the lines, strictly biblical.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So someone that, you know, will stick to the as you say, the worldview that's strictly formulated by the scriptures.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now we learn a lot from the scriptures. In fact, even when Christ was still walking the earth and having these conversations with his disciples, and in him calling his disciples to be radical, he basically said to them that every time you are radical for me, or as you live a radical life for me, you will be persecuted. Because as I've said in the definition, you are living a life that is different from what the culture has deemed as the norm.
Yeah.
So you will be ridiculed. In fact, I remember back in my youth days, youth pastors, I'm sure if you're a youth pastor, Isaac probably has said this before. Mm-hmm. If you're a youth pastor listening to this, you've probably said this to your teens before. But my old youth leader would say to me, man, young people, you need to guard your life. Guard your life from compromise. Mm. Why is it that all young people want to see how close they can get to the fire before they get burnt? Carson's also laughing, so he's probably said it or he's thinking about saying it. Why is it that all young Christians want to walk on the edge of the cliff and think that they're not going to fall? And it basically reminds me of the story of Lot, where Lot basically moved to the doorstep of Sodom. And in fact, we're given a description of what it was like in Sodom as a godless nation. Mm. And eventually, we read in Genesis that he found himself living in Sodom.
Mm.
So the question is, as Christians, you know, sometimes to be cool in the culture, we find ourselves walking on the edge. And maybe we're not doing what they're doing, but to be cool and relevant, maybe our language sounds the same and our walk sounds the same and some of the things we watch and listen to is the same. But yet, you know, we're not too far gone. We're still holding on to the faith. You know, we're still loving God. Where should we be as Christians? That's basically what we're trying to talk about today. Mm. And even now as I'm speaking, just thinking about in the hood or Kokasi or in the townships, if you are that guy who is strict and you are a radical and you don't want to find yourself on the edge, They want to call you Mfundis. They want to call you the pastor. They want to call you the saint. In fact, people want to say, you inviting Isaac? Nah, don't invite that guy.
Don't invite him to bachelor parties or anything like that.
He's going to come and want to talk about God. Nobody wants the guy who's going to want to come and talk about God the whole time.
Yo.
So what does it mean to be a radical for Christ?
No, I think, Jabu, and I think it is a challenge for us to live a life 24/7 for Christ. And I will admit, I think it's difficult, but that's what we were called to, you know? Jesus is saying to us, you know, follow me, follow what I say, follow my my commands. And we, I think in this day and age, we have we compartmentalize our lives, and you know, I'm a Christian on a Sunday, you know, and all that, and then when I get to work on Monday, you know, that's kind of left behind. You know, it's different. It's just in a different environment, and I need to do what I need to do to get paid. But I think that is a lack of understanding of our true identity in Christ, that we belong to Him, that all of our lives belong to Him, and so that we were made to glorify Him, we were made to serve Him. And so I think that we in being too Christian is that of actually just being a true Christian, you know, just being a complete Christian all the time, where I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm not ashamed of my faith, I'm living on the principles of the scriptures, whether they, you know, make other people uncomfortable or not. But I believe that this is what we were called for, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's you know, it's just all of life is for Him. And I'm not trying to be simplistic, but this is what we're called to do.
And I mean, we're going to spend time in the next few weeks. This is really the introduction to try set up what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks to help bring about some practicalities of so what does this look like in the workplace? Are we talking about, okay, when I go into the office, when I greet people, I just land there, okay, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, amen. And people ask me, how are you doing? I automatically revert to, I'm doing well, praise the Lord. You know, I haven't been well, but I've prayed and He has rebuked my soul. I've confessed my sins and I'm well. What does it mean? Does it mean that everything that I say is scripture? What does that mean?
We're
going to try spending some time in the next few weeks doing that. And please don't get us wrong. We're not trying to mock those folks. So maybe if some of these things are making you uncomfortable, we're not trying to mock anybody who does that. But there's also the sense that there is a false sense that of Christianity that people bring, where they bring this high level of God bless you, I'm blessed, and all this Christianese, and yet on the inside they're just hollow and empty.
And if we look at the example of Jesus, it was a major contrast with the Pharisees, right? Because the Pharisees were saying all the right things and all that, and they felt like, you know, superior, and people looked at them like, nah, that's too Christian, you know? Yeah. But we see Jesus, He is true to His identity, He's humble, He relates to people, you know, and so they didn't look at Jesus like they did to the Pharisees. And this kind of, and Jesus shows us kind of the sets the bar and the example for us to follow this, being true. A true disciple of Christ does not mean this fake veil of holiness, yes. You know, yes. Of you know, just superiority. Because I you know, Jesus gives us a true example of humility and he cared and all of this, and so I definitely think that there is a difference. We can see. We can see people today that would try to portray a state that they're not actually in. Yeah.
So, I mean, didn't Jesus share a parable about the religious leader who was praying on top of the hill for everybody to see, and the tax collector who was on his knees beating his chest, saying he is a sinner in need of God's saving. So really we are actually warning against proclaiming a false sense of Christianity and having a true sense of Christianity shining through you. In fact, what we're calling for is radical discipleship. You know, Christians are to be like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, who said his desire was to know Christ.
Amen.
It was to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So being too Christian, which we've already said is just being Christian, means that you are dead in the flesh. And you are day by day mortifying your flesh, putting it to death, and you are living in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think the other temptation and warning is we're not calling for a movement towards legalism.
Sure.
Because that's the other extreme where, I really need to be a good Christian. Therefore, I'm now going to swing the pendulum all the way to legalism. So what is legalism? It is a dependence on behavior rather than faith for salvation. This completely misses the point of the gospel. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about a person who has their faith grounded in God, and we are seeing this faith. God is working out this person's salvation every day, and that's basically what we're calling for today.
The thing that the Pharisees didn't get was the heart behind the law, because the law, you know, the law is good. God gave the law, but it wasn't about behavior. It was about the heart, you know, and so you can do all things right on the outside and be rotten on the inside. And so our obedience to the Lord's commands should come from a heart that is devoted to him. You know, that man, because I love the Lord. I think the Psalms would say that because I love the Lord, I love his laws, I love his statutes, you know. And there is, you know, Jabu, you're quite right. There is these two, you know, extremes of legalism and antinomianism, where, you know, either all completely about the behavior and all that, and like, oh no, don't worry, don't follow anything, it's just about the heart and all that. But we, you know, focusing on the gospel, Christ transforms our hearts, and so we want to obey him. We want to obey what he has said.
So as we bring this to a close, man, listen to what was said about the apostles, the radical apostles. Acts chapter 17 verse 6 says, "And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also.'"
Love it.
Let me give you some context to understand how do these guys turn the world upside down. You have to go to verse 2 of Acts 17. It says, "And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying, 'This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous. Taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd." Can you see these men were so zealous for the work of Christ. They lived out the gospel in their lives. They shared the gospel as well to those who had ears to hear that the Spirit would bring to faith. And because of this, there was friction from who? From the Jews. R.C. Sproul, in fact, says that if you are a Christian today and you try to live a radically Christian life in glory of God, you will have the most pushback, not from the atheists, not from the agnostics, not from people from different religions. You have the greatest pushback and criticism from Christians.
That's so true. I mean, in this secular age, you know, those that stick to the scriptures are called fundamentalists. You know, you're just being too strict.
Sure.
you know just too cold, or you mean.
Yeah,
you know. It's true.
So to close us off, I'd like to close us with just two paragraphs that I've read off. This is a really good article on Ligonier, and I'll close us off with this. And it says, "The Bible depicts growth as a Christian as coming to know the Lord and to love the Lord more and more. And when we come to know the Lord and love the Lord, we see God's holiness. And the more we see God's holiness, the more we see our own sinfulness. The more we look to His word and His law and His gospel, the more we see the righteousness of the law. The more we see the righteousness of Christ, and the more we realize that we are really wretched sinners." And so a lot of times Christian growth doesn't look like growing taller. Sorry, Isaac. It really looks a lot of times like growing smaller in your own eyes. And what that usually means for us as Christians is that we are growing by dying more and more to ourselves.
Amen.
And that kind of death and pain hurts, and it's scary, because we know that when God is growing us, He is in one sense killing the inner man, killing the sin within us. And as we strive to kill that sin in our flesh, to mortify that sin in our flesh, it is painful. When God disciplines us according to His love for us, that discipline is painful. Oh, but for the moment. Because God will crush us and discipline us in order to humble us, in order to preserve us, and in order to get our eyes fixed on Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, those are great words. And so as we close up, I think what I want to do is to ask Carson to pray for us.
Hey, Carson. You know, he's been dying to get behind the mic.
Yeah, there we go. So, that we will be true Christians.
Amen.
And true Christian in all of life. Thanks, Carson.
Cool. Let us close in prayer. Father, I want to lift you high today. Lord, as the sovereign over all, realizing, God, that we don't come at this with an attitude that says, God, I need to fix it. I need to get it right. But we come with an attitude that says, I've got God who wills and does His purposes in my life. Amen. And so I pray, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of anyone who's hearing this podcast today, that God, they would realize that life is not a bunch of platitudes. It's not a bunch of saying, I'm a Christian or I stand for these things. It's about coming in weakness before our God, saying, God, we need you. We need to be transformed by you. We need you to cut out those things in our lives that do not conform to you and grow us in your image and your likeness. And so I pray, Lord, that you would work that out in the lives of each and every person that hears this podcast, that, Father, they would be challenged to look at their own life and say, does my life represent one who has bowed the knee before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings?
Sure.
And so I just pray, Lord, that you would work through this opportunity. Thank you for Jabba and Isaac and their work in providing us with expounding the truth of your scripture. And I pray, Lord, that this message would go far and wide, and that we would see many listen to this and come to make impacts, not just in their homes, but in their workplaces and in the world. Yeah. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please stay tuned as we continue to try and unpack what does it look like practically in your sphere of influence to live a life of worship to God. See you guys next time.
We live in a day where we think that in order to be relevant to our culture, we must be like our culture. We live in a day where we think in order for the gospel to be relevant, we must somehow adapt it to the culture, and nothing on the face of the earth or in the bowels of hell could be further from the truth. We are relevant not because we are like our culture, we are relevant because we are absolutely different. And our gospel has power not because it is acceptable to carnal men. Our gospel has power because it is a scandal to men.
Thank you for joining the Theology Alive podcast. Please subscribe and share.
Later.